Hello, this is Clyde J. Gale of Mystery Play Internet Radio, and welcome to this podcast series of Radio Private Eyes, some of the best old-time radio detective shows on the net. Hello, this is Clyde J. Gale, and let me tell you, I am so excited about my online gallery at vangoart.co/CJKale. That's vangoart, vangoart.co/CJKale. All of my original works. Now, this is original, one-of-a-kind watercolors. It's posted there for purchase. So please support Mystery Play Internet Radio and support me, Clyde J. Gale, an artist. My creativity, it's just overflowing. And soon, I'll be back in Italy with my family. That's what this is all about, folks. That's what Mystery Play Internet Radio is all about. vangoart.co/CJKale. vangoart.co/CJKale. Take a look. Maybe there's something that will trigger your passion. And thank you for your time.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Batter up, Johnny.
Who's that?
McGraw.
Oh, as if I didn't know. What's on your mind, Bert?
Dollar Mason. Ever hear of her? Her uncle, Sylvester Mason.
Mason, steel and iron?
Yeah, that's the man. Dollar's his favorite niece. About 6 weeks ago, she disappeared.
So?
So, yesterday, a body washed up on Newport Beach not too far from her parents' home.
Dollar's?
According to her father...
And you hold a policy on her?
For $25,000, double indemnity.
Ouch. So, why don't you pay it off?
We would have, today, except for one thing.
Well, what's that?
Right after Mason identified the body, a man named Dixon showed up and swore it was the body of his daughter.
What?
Bob Bailey, in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
And now, Act One of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Providential Assurance Company, 393 Dewey Avenue, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Mason-Dixon mismatch matter. Expense account item one, $1.20, taxi from my apartment at the Providential Building. The walls of Bert McGraw's office are covered with pictures of sporting events, and as I entered, Bert was preparing to hang another one.
Oh, Johnny, well, come in. You ever see this?
Who is it?
Who? Well, it's me, that's who. The day I pitched for the Valdosta Lions. Struck out 10 of the cherry pointers that afternoon. Yes, sir.
You win the game for him?
Huh?
I said, did you win the game for him?
Oh. No, cheating umpire. Hey. Well, Johnny boy, you ready to join our little team?
I don't know. The body of a girl being found on a beach, Mason identifying it as his daughter, then somebody else showing up.
Henry Dixon.
Yeah, and saying the same thing. Can't the authorities identify her?
Haven't been able to yet.
Neither one of those girls had their fingerprints on record?
Nope.
Well, what about dental work?
Nothing to go on there either.
Oh, brother.
It's not going to be an easy one, Johnny.
How long had the body been in the ocean before it was washed up?
Well, they figure about 6 weeks. You know what that means.
Yeah.
Hello? Oh, yes, sir. I see. Uh-huh. Well, if it isn't the Mason girl... Yes, sir. Yes, sir, that's right. Well, thanks for calling, Captain. That was Captain Miller of the Newport Police.
They find out who she is?
No. So if it is the Mason girl, we're going to have to pay out $50,000 on the double indemnity clause.
You aren't surprised, are you?
No, I didn't think she died from a natural cause. But I didn't think it'd be from a gunshot wound, either.
What kind of a gunshot wound?
A .38, right through here.
Mm. How old did you say the Mason girl was, Bert?
Oh, around 20. Dixon girl, too. Both of them pretty, full of life. At least they were. Who'd want to hop?
But I suppose there's one way of finding out.
Hmm? Just how do you figure doing it?
When did the Mason girl disappear?
Oh, about 6 weeks ago.
And the Dixon girl?
Well, she's been missing about 3 months.
Well, one of them's still alive. I'll try to find her. Bert gave me all the information he had on both the Mason and the Dixon families. I took a cab back to my apartment. That's expense account item 2. Item 3, $18.10, transportation, Hartford to Newport, Rhode Island. After checking in at the Ogden Hotel, I called Dollar Mason's father, rented a car, and drove out to the Mason home on the beach. I was about to ring the bell when the front door opened.
Hi.
Well, hi.
You must be Johnny Dollar.
That's right.
Come on in. I'm Joan Mason.
Dollar's little sister.
Uh-huh. This way, Mr. Dollar. Mother's waiting for you in the den.
Your mother? I thought my appointment was with you.
Oh, my father's indisposed. Besides, Mother's the brains of this family. Of course, if you really want to know about Darla, you ask me.
Maybe I will.
You better. Mr. Dollar's here, Mother.
Thank you, my dear. Come in, please, Mr. Dollar.
See you later, Johnny.
A dreadful mistake my husband made has upset him so. I thought it best to see you myself.
Just what mistake are you referring to, Mrs. Mason?
Well, we've released a statement to the newspapers. I thought you had heard.
No, ma'am, I haven't.
You've made a trip over here for nothing, then.
Oh?
Yes, you see, my husband erred when he identified that body as being our daughter's. It couldn't possibly have been.
Well, I know you're glad of that, Mrs. Mason. But what made Mr. Mason change his mind?
I haven't changed it, Dollar.
Georgia, I thought you were going to stay in your room.
Never mind. Dollar, any questions you want to ask, I'll try to answer them.
Why, George Mason, you've been drinking.
Only enough to take the bad taste out of my mouth, and you know what put it there.
Don't
look so mixed up, Jenny. I tried going along with you, but I got too weak a stomach, so here I am.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No. Listen, Dollar. Soon as they found out that girl had been murdered, my wife here decided it couldn't have been Darla.
It isn't Darla, and you know it.
Only thing I know is that you got a set idea good proper people don't die nowhere else but in bed. Because this girl died like she did, because she was shot, you tried convincing me she ain't our daughter. Well, I won't hold still for it. That girl's Darla, no matter what that crazy coot Dixon says.
Excuse me,
or
Mr.
what
Dollar?
You say.
Yes, surely.
You hear? You hear me, Jenny? Oh. Doggone woman. Oh, you want a drink, Dollar?
No, thanks. A little early for me.
Yeah, I guess I've had enough, too. Well, Dollar, no matter what way our girl died, she was a good girl. Never gave me a bit of trouble. Never lied. Never ran around like some her age do. Oh, she was a real good girl.
Mr. Mason, the police haven't been able to make a positive identification.
I know that.
Well, would you mind telling me why you're so certain that girl is your daughter?
Oh, of course not. First thing, Darla had no reason to run off. She had everything I could give her. Charge accounts all over the place. Everything money could buy. So, she had no reason to leave here like she did.
Where was she last seen?
At the Newport Yacht Club, at the bar. Younger daughter Joan saw Darla talking with a stranger. When she walked out of the club, it was the last anybody ever saw of her.
Well, Mr. Mason, do you have a picture of your daughter that I could borrow for a few days?
Yeah, I might be able to find you one. What do you want with it?
I'm going to try to find her.
You what? Dollar, you...
Or find the Dixon girl.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Well, you might locate Ruth Dixon somewhere.
Do you know the Dixons, Mr. Mason?
No, I never heard of him before this happened.
What about Ruth Dixon? Could Darla have known her?
Oh, of course not.
Are you sure? I mean, isn't it possible that in a small community like this
one... No, it's not possible. Darla, we're the Masons. Now, maybe that don't mean much to you or to me, but it means an awful lot to my wife. And for the time poor Darla was born, my wife drilled it into her. You understand?
No, I'm not sure that I do.
Well... Darla never mixed with people she thought were beneath her, any more than my wife ever has.
I see.
You don't believe it, you just ask around.
I plan to, Mr. Mason. Mason found a small snapshot of his daughter. I took it and drove back to town. Expense account item 4, 10 cents, one phone call to Henry Dixon. 20 minutes later, I walked through the knee-high weeds that surrounded the Dixon home. Standing on the front porch waiting for me was a tall, thin man.
Afternoon. Mr. Dollar?
Yes, that's right.
Well, I'm glad to know you. Sit down. It's such a nice day, I thought we could talk out here on the porch.
Fine with me.
Oh, Dollar.
Yeah?
Look, this whole thing hasn't been easy on my wife. Now, I've spent all day convincing her that I was mistaken, that the girl found on the beach isn't our daughter.
You really believe that?
Oh, I do, and so does my wife. And for the first time in days, she's almost her old self again.
Henry?
Oh, on the porch, Lucille. Mr. Dollar's here.
Oh, my. It's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Well, Lucille, this is Mr. Dollar.
Oh, pleased to meet you, sir.
Thank you, Mrs. Dixon.
Well, sit down, Mr. Dollar. Just anywhere.
Oh, Henry built these chairs himself. I wanted to put them in the house, but Ruth, she just wouldn't have it.
Yes, Mr. Dollar. I'm not at all sure why you want to see us. Ruth wasn't insured. We never could afford to take out a policy on her.
Well, we did once for her college fund. You remember, Henry?
Yes, but when I was forced to slow down, we had to cash it in. All except about $1,000, that is.
Back in St. Louis, my husband was a school teacher, Mr. Dollar. A fine one. But the doctors made him give it up because of his heart.
Oh, I see. How long have you folks lived in Newport?
5 years and 4 months.
Mrs. Dixon, I imagine you remember just about everything that happened the day Ruth disappeared, don't you?
Oh, my, yes.
Well, did your daughter seem to be upset or emotionally disturbed in any way?
No more than usual.
Well, Ruth was spoiled, Mr. Dollar. Before Henry had to leave his job, we had the money to buy her nice things. Then, when we didn't have it, well, Ruth just never could get used to seeing her friends and their pretty new dresses.
That's one of the reasons we moved to Newport, to get away from that crowd.
Yes, we hoped she would find some friends on her own,
financial level.
Yes, some friends like that. But she wouldn't change.
Did she know the Mason girl? Or ever talk about her?
No, I can't recall that she did.
Now, wait a minute, Henry. She did once.
Oh, when was that?
Oh, about the middle of March. They were having a dance where Ruth worked. When she got home that night, she told me the Mason girl had been there and how nice her hair had looked.
The Mason girl wasn't nearly as pretty.
Oh, no. Have you ever seen a picture of Ruth, Mr. Dollar?
Well, only the one in the newspapers.
Oh, that doesn't look a thing like Ruth. Excuse me.
Surely. Mr. Dixon, was Ruth happy with her job?
Well, considering how little they pay girls for doing hostess work, she was.
Now, here's a real nice picture of her, Mr. Dollar. You just look at this. Isn't that something?
Sure. Mrs. Dixon, where was this taken?
Well, where she worked, at the Newport Yacht Club.
I borrowed the picture after promising to be careful with it. Then I went back to my hotel. At the desk, I stopped for my key and messages and found one from Captain Miller of the Newport Police. He wanted to see me in his office as soon as possible. It took me about 5 minutes to get there.
Dollar?
Yeah, that's right.
In here. I'm Miller, homicide detail. I'm glad you could...
Oh, Mr. Dollar, what wonderful good news.
Now, Jenny, leave the man alone.
Well, I didn't expect to find you people here, Mrs. Mason.
No, I'm sure you didn't. And Mr. Mason didn't expect to be here either. Oh, you just wouldn't hold the thought, would you, George? You just wouldn't have faith.
Oh, Jenny.
You had our girl dead and buried in her grave.
For heaven's sake, never see anything so disgusting, Dollar.
But she's not. No, sir. Oh, I'm so thankful, so very.
Mrs. Mason, you mean you found her?
They haven't found her yet, Dollar. As a matter
we
of fact...
We found proof that she's alive.
What kind of proof?
A slip.
A what?
A little sale.
Oh, Mr. Dollar, I'm so excited.
Calm down, Jenny, for heaven's sake.
What did you find, Captain?
I didn't find it, Mrs. Mason. Well, what is it? What is it? A bill from Kennedy's. That's a department store over in Providence.
Oh, why don't you shut up, woman?
Captain, what's a bill got to do with Darla Mason being alive?
Just this. All the Masons have a charge account at Kennedy's.
So? Yes, yes.
So today a bill came to the Mason house addressed to Miss Darla Mason.
Look here. Yeah?
Mrs. Mason opened it.
Yes.
Darla charged a fur wrap in Kennedy's.
Oh. When?
Just last week.
Act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
We often hear about people shooting the bull or throwing the bull. We often do it ourselves on occasion. But here's a story about a bull that threw the man instead of the other way around. When Air Force veterinarian Captain Tony Kamalocker was stationed in the Azores, he was asked by a Portuguese veterinarian to diagnose the wound of a young and promising bull that had been gored by another bull. It came from a long line of famous corrida bulls and was considered very valuable. But Captain Kamalocker's diagnosis was not favorable. An operation was needed, and there were no facilities for such a thing. Just the young captain's bag of surgical instruments, a few strong field hands to hold the animal down, and Mrs. Kamalocker, who acted as nurse. The operating table was a rocky field under a penetrating drizzle of rain. But Captain Tony Kamalocker couldn't be stopped with mere inconveniences. After giving the bull a dose of tranquilizers and a shot of local anesthetic, he proceeded with surgery. Just as the operation was completed, the bull came to life. With a mighty lurch, it leaped to its feet, throwing the field hands aside like sticks, and, for thanks, immediately charged at the surgeon. But Kamalocker escaped over a nearby stone wall. The bull recovered, and its grateful owner renamed it Kamalocker for its debut in the ring, where, Portuguese style, it is against the law to kill the bull. That's how a simple act of kindness brought about new understanding, a step on the road to freedom, the right of all men, everywhere.
Now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and the Mason-Dixon mismatch matter.
After telling me that the Mason girl had used one of her charge accounts just 5 days before the body was discovered on the beach, Captain Miller produced the original sales slip. Written across the bottom of it was the name Darla Mason.
I wish to heaven I could be positive it's really her signature.
You mean you think it's a forgery, Captain?
I don't think anything yet.
Mr. Dollar, you believe it's Darla's signature, don't you?
Well, I haven't anything to compare the signature with, Mrs. Mason.
Mrs. Mason, do you happen to have any of your daughter's legal documents at home, or her driver's license, or anything else that might contain her signature?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
You can order a copy from the Department of Motor Vehicles, Captain.
Yeah, I will.
What do you want it for, Captain?
Well, it's just a matter of form, Mr. Mason. We have to be sure.
But Darla's mother and me, we are sure, and we're the only ones that count.
Well, that's not quite true, Mr. Mason.
What?
Have you forgotten about the Dixons?
Oh, yeah, I guess I did for a minute. Well, you go ahead. Mrs. Mason and me will be at home.
Yes, sir.
You'll let us know as soon as you can, Captain.
Yes, ma'am, I will.
Thank you.
Well, Darla, now what?
How far is Providence, Captain?
40 miles. Why?
Well, I don't know about that store over there, but where I came from, before a person could charge on an expensive item like a fur wrap, he'd have to produce some identification.
Unless.
Yeah?
Unless the salesperson recognized him. Or her. What do you think?
It's 3:10 now. If we hurry, we might have time to do a little shopping. We made it in an hour and a half. The first salon at Kennedy's is on the second floor, back, away from the escalator.
I remember her quite well, Mr. Darla.
And you're sure it was Darla Mason?
Oh, yes, I know, because I was so surprised to see her.
Oh, how's that?
Well, I read the papers, Mr. Darla. I knew she'd been away.
Had you ever waited on her before, Miss Trumbull?
No, I had not.
Do you remember how she was dressed?
Well, she had on a hat. Gray felt fitted real close to her head, so you couldn't see any of her hair. And, oh, yes, a navy blue dress, raw silk, I believe, and real décolleté.
What?
Low cut, Captain.
Oh. Did you recognize her when she first walked in, or not until she told you her name?
Well, I... Oh, you men are so picky. I don't remember everything.
I'm sorry. Miss Trimble, I have two snapshots here. In a moment, I want you to tell me which of these two girls is Darla Mason.
Well, that won't be hard to do.
But first, may I borrow a pair of scissors and a small piece of paper, please?
Certainly. Here you are.
Thanks.
What the devil are you up to, Johnny?
Cutting paper hats. What do you think?
What?
Come over here to the counter. Miss Trimble, if you'll just wait there a second, please.
Yes, whatever you say.
This had better be good.
I think it will be. Now watch. All right. Now I put the snapshots on the counter, and on the head of each girl...
Johnny!
One of my little paper hats.
Oh, really? This is ridiculous.
Is it? Take a look.
But I... Well, I'll be... When did you spot this?
Today, at the Dixon House. Miss Trimble.
Yes, sir?
Would you come over now, please?
Yes, certainly.
All right. Look at the snapshots and tell me which of these ladies bought that fur from you last week.
Why, you've covered up their hair.
You said she wore a hat, didn't you?
Yes, but... Well,
which one of them was it, Miss Trimble?
Well, I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
They look so much alike with their hair covered like that. I'm just not sure.
The Mason girl had worn her hair short in the Italian style. Ruth Dixon, who didn't have the money to spend on beauty parlors, had let hers grow long and full. But both girls had similar features, and apparently I was the only one who had noticed this. Or was I? Captain Miller and I went to the credit department where we compared the signature on the sales slip with Darla Mason's original credit application. After that, well, there was little doubt in our minds as to what had happened. It was almost 7 when I got back to my hotel, took a shower, and stretched out to do a little thinking. Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hi, yourself. Who is it?
Oh, come on, Johnny. Who are you expecting?
Well...
Don't tell me you've forgotten about our date.
Oh, no. Where shall I meet you, Miss...
I'll meet you. Be right up, Johnny boy.
I wasn't quite dressed when she began pounding on the door. I tucked my shirt in and opened the door.
Hi.
Joni.
Well, who else? Well, don't look so amazed. Invite me in.
Oh, sorry. Come in.
That's more like it.
You don't mind if I leave the door open, do you?
Worried, Johnny?
Oh, no. It's just that I like lots of air.
You're cute.
So are you for a 17-year-old.
18. But I'm...
quite sure you are. Now, Joni, before we go out tonight, would you mind if I ask you a couple of questions?
I thought you probably would.
Oh, why?
Well, I'm sure everyone in Newport knows about Darla charging that for a wrap.
I see.
What do you want to ask me, Johnny?
It's about the day Darla disappeared.
Yes?
Well, you said she was in the bar with a stranger, right?
That's right.
But you and I, we both know that every stranger who enters the yacht club has to sign a guest book, correct?
Well, he's given a temporary card.
With the name of the member who invited him to the club, also registered in the book.
You're very clever, Mr. Darla.
Why did you lie to the police and your parents, Joni?
Darla's my sister. I thought maybe someday she'd do the same for me.
Will you tell me who the stranger was? Or shall I go over to the yacht club and start checking their guest book?
I'll tell you. You...
Yeah?
Would you mind closing that door?
Tell me first.
His name's Peter Hansen.
Who is he?
My mother can answer that. Or my father.
Who is he, Joni?
A tutor. My mother hired him for Darla and me. He moved into our house about 3 months ago. Of course, he didn't stay long.
Where was he from?
I don't really know. But I know how you can find out.
Yeah?
Mother hires all her help from the Castelloni Employment Agency in Providence. If anyone has his home address, they will.
I started calling the Castelloni agency at 8:30 the next morning. Hanson's last known address was in Providence, and half an hour later I was headed toward the highway. It wasn't until I reached the turnpike that I noticed I was being followed by a battered blue sedan. Hansen had moved, but he'd left a forwarding address, and 3 hours and 2 addresses later, I turned down a lonely oyster shell road and stopped. Ahead of me, I could see a small beach cottage, and still behind me, the battered blue sedan.
You make it real easy for a man to follow you, Mr. Dollar.
If I had known it was you, sir, I wouldn't have.
I hope you don't mind my tagging along like this.
Mr. Dixon.
Now, wait. I know what you're going to say. But let me say this first, Mr. Dollar. I've waited around, wondering if it was our girl you would find or the other one for so long. Well, I just couldn't anymore. I had to do something. You understand that, don't you?
Yes, sir, I think I do.
Good. Well, then, you go on about your business, and I won't bother you. You go on up to that house, and I'll wait right here. Go on now.
Yes, sir. I wasn't sure who or what I would find in that beach house, but I was sure no amount of talk could persuade Mr. Dixon to leave until I did. I knocked on the door for a good minute before it finally opened.
Yeah?
Mr. Hansen?
Yeah, what is it?
My name is Dollar. I'm an insurance...
Insurance man? Oh, I thought... Honey, it's just an insurance salesman. Look, Dollar, even if I had the money, I wouldn't buy any insurance from you. You come around too early.
You didn't let me finish.
Huh?
I'm not a salesman. I'm an investigator.
Oh.
Hey! Oh, no. Give it up, Hans.
No! Honey! Honey!
Honey, and...
Pete, don't let him.
You can't stop me, Hanson.
You want to bet?
Yeah.
Run, Pete. Run. Pete, look out.
No.
Oh, Pete. Oh, Pete.
You'll be all right.
Why did you have to find us? Why?
Why did you disappear? You know how much trouble you've caused?
I can read. I know.
It didn't bother you? Your family not knowing whether you were dead or alive?
Not a bit. I'd be happier if they thought I was dead.
Oh, darling, you don't mean that.
I proved it, didn't I?
I'm not sure. Why did you disappear?
Because I was bored. Tired and sick of living like my family makes me live.
And how's that?
Come out here. You see those birds?
The seagulls, yeah.
Beautiful, aren't they? You know why?
All right, why?
Because they're free. Because they can live any way they want with no responsibilities, no reputation to worry about. Oh, boy, how I envy them.
Mr. Dollar.
We're around back, sir.
All right, now you tell me something.
Sure.
How'd you know that wasn't me they found on the beach?
Because of that fur wrap you charged at Kennedy's.
But how did... I told them to send the bill here.
They didn't. It went to your house.
Oh, no. Somebody sure goofed.
Yeah, Dollar. You sure did.
Mr. Dollar, are you all right? I thought... Oh.
Mr. Dixon, I...
Mr. Dixon?
Yes, Darla. He followed me here hoping I'd lead him to his daughter.
Oh. Gee, Mr. Dixon, I'm sorry if there's anything I can do.
My daughter was fine. Decent. But you...
Oh, Mr. Dixon...
After what you did to your parents and to us, making us wonder for so long... Not knowing whether it was you or our daughter who was dead. Believe me, I wish it were you.
Like Bert McGraw told me a long time ago, somebody has to handle the rough ones. And for me, this was it. Henry Dixon was in no condition to drive his car, so he rode back with us. And on the way, well, Darla Mason will never forget the things he said to her. Neither will I. As for Ruth Dixon, who murdered her and why, well, that's up to the Newport police. Expense account total, including hotel bill, car rental, and transportation back to Hartford, $319 exactly. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, well, I suddenly found out there was more to this case I just finished. More. The really tough part. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood. Written by Charles B. Smith, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, Mary Jane Croft, Jeanette Nolan, Gene Tatum, Frank Nelson, Will Wright, Austin Green, and Marvin Miller. Musical supervision is by Amerigo Marino. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. Television Service. From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
The bases are loaded and there's nobody out.
What?
And you're pitching, Johnny boy.
Bert McGraw.
Yep, right as rhubarb.
What's in your mind, Bert?
You and a job you didn't finish.
A job I didn't... What are you talking about? Well, sure. Ruth Dixon's body was found on Newport Beach.
But you didn't find out who killed her, Johnny.
I figured that was a job for the police.
They want to talk to you about that. And so do we.
Oh?
Yeah, Ruth Dixon was insured with our company.
For how much?
$1,000.
$1,000? You don't expect me to go back to Newport for the commission I'll make off that, do you?
Nope. But if you'll go, we'll foot the bill.
Oh, how come?
Tell you when you get here. Interested?
Yeah. Now...
Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
And now, Act One of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Providential Assurance Company, 393 Dewey Avenue, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Dixon murder matter. Expense account item one, $1.20 taxi from my apartment to the Providential building. Along the way, I did some thinking. A week ago, a girl's body had been found on Newport Beach. The Masons and the Dixons had each identified it as the body of their missing daughter. I managed to locate the Mason girl. That meant that Ruth Dixon was the girl on the beach. Who had killed Ruth? Well, I didn't figure that was my job. But evidently the branch of Providential did. Why? Well, I hope Bert McGraw would tell me.
Oh, Johnny, come in, come in.
Morning, Bert.
About this Dixon matter, I suppose you're wondering why I was so anxious for you to go back to Newport.
Well, I am kind of curious, Bert.
Well, I told you, Ruth Dixon was insured with our company.
But for only $1,000, you'd save money by paying it off and forgetting it.
Maybe, but it isn't that easy.
Oh, why not?
Because of the Newport police, for one thing.
Well, what have they got to do with her insurance?
Well, not a thing. But they have got plenty to do with our company and its representatives. And last week, you were one of them.
So?
So, the Newport police, Captain Lewis of Homicide, to be exact, called here this morning.
Who's Lewis? Miller was the man I worked with.
Lewis took over because Miller didn't follow up on you. And he's very unhappy with you, Johnny.
I can't imagine why.
No? Well, Captain Lewis says you left Newport without giving his office all the information you had on the Mason girl.
The Mason girl? What's she got to do with the Dixon investigation?
Well, how should I know?
Darla Mason didn't even know Ruth Dixon.
Lewis says different. But that's beside the point. We can't afford to have any police department in this country feeling the way the Newport boys do about our investigators.
Oh, come on now, Bert. It isn't at all that serious.
Johnny, we have to have police cooperation. And we can't force them to cooperate, so we try to build up a sufficient amount of goodwill.
But, Bert,
no, it's too late to apologize.
Who's apologizing?
Captain Lewis chewed out my boss. My boss did it to me, and I have orders to do it to you.
Okay, so get it over with.
Well, I'm almost through. Except that no matter what it costs us, it's going to be worth it to have goodwill restored. You understand?
Sure.
And whatever you do in Newport, please keep Captain Lewis informed. If you stumble onto something that might lead to the Dixon girl's killer, tell Lewis about it.
Okay, Bert, whatever you say.
No hard feelings, Johnny.
No. Everything's just fine.
Oh, good boy. Glad to see you understand.
For an expense account like the one you're going to get, I can understand the theory of relativity. took a cab back to my apartment. That's item two. Item three, $18.50, transportation to Newport, Rhode Island. After checking into the Ogden Hotel, I called headquarters. Captain Lewis wasn't in, so I left a message asking him to call me. Then I called the girl in question, Darla Mason.
Johnny, hi. What are you doing back in Newport?
Oh, just winding up a little unfinished business.
Nothing to do with me, I hope.
No, not a thing. Darla.
Yes?
If you're not busy tonight, why don't you meet me for dinner?
Why, Johnny, I'd love to.
Fine. You say where?
Well, how about the yacht club at 8?
Good.
I can take the cruiser from our dock. And after dinner, we can go for a ride on the bay.
Sounds great.
See you at 8 then, Johnny. Bye.
Bye. Expense account item four, $15 worth of American Beauty roses for Ruth Dixon's mother. I rented a car and drove out to the Dixon home. The moment I stepped into the house, I could smell the heavy, sweet odor of oriental incense. While Mrs. Dixon put the flowers in water, I located the source of the incense. It came from an ornate burner on the mantel in the living room. Behind the burner, draped in black, was a large photograph of Ruth Dixon. And on each side of the photograph were two lighted candles.
Oh, Mr. Darla, these are the most beautiful roses I've ever seen.
Well, I'm glad you like them, Mrs. Dixon.
Oh, yes. Ruth will, too.
Beg your pardon?
I said Ruth will like them, too. I'll take them to her in the morning. That is, if you don't mind.
Oh, no. No, not at all.
Mr. Darla, I don't know how you feel about such things, but I believe those who have passed on never really leave us. What do you think?
Well, I haven't given much thought to the subject.
But you should. Ruth will appreciate these roses as much or more than she ever would have. Do you believe that?
Well, I didn't know Ruth when she was alive. When she was here, Mrs. Dixon.
Oh, that's right. You didn't. Well, she's still here. And if there's any doubt in your mind, why, you just come with me and visit Madame de Sales.
Madame de Sales?
Yes. She's been such a help and comfort to me these past few days. Well, without her and her teaching, I'd have been completely lost.
This Madame de Sales, what is she?
She's just an ordinary person, but she has wonderful occult powers. She can see beyond the veil, Mr. Darla. And she's promised to let me speak to Ruth as soon as the conditions arrive.
Do you know when that will be?
Lucille?
In here, Henry. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Darla. I have to put out these candles. Henry doesn't believe like we do.
My, you've been at it again, haven't you, woman?
Now, Henry.
Open the windows. Get the smoke and the smell out of... Oh, Mr. Darla.
Afternoon, Mr. Dixon.
What are you doing back in Newport?
He's trying to find the man that caused our girl to pass on.
Oh, she didn't pass on, Lucille. She died.
Henry, really?
Well, anyway, I wish you luck, Mr. Darla.
I have a hunch I'm going to need it, Mr. Dixon.
Mr. Darla, wouldn't you like to stay to dinner? We aren't having anything fancy. Just leftovers and boiled cabbage head. Oh, my.
Now what?
Why, I just remembered why I burned that incense. And it wasn't what you thought, Henry Dixon. It was on account of the cabbage. It covers the smell.
That's not the truth, and you know it.
Oh, now, Henry.
Look at that mantle, Mr. Dollar. She's made a regular shrine out of it. Looks like a heathen altar.
Henry.
Well, it's the truth. And I wouldn't blame Mr. Dollar if he was afraid to stay to dinner with a woman like you around.
You aren't afraid to stay, are you, Mr. Dollar?
No, of course not, but I do have another engagement.
Oh, well, anytime you can come, you just let us know.
Yes, thanks. I'll remember.
Well, now, if you men will excuse me.
You will. And you open the windows in the back.
Yes, Henry. Oh, Mr. Darla.
Yes?
When Madame de Sales arranges...
That fraud.
When Madame de Sales arranges for me to talk to Ruth, I'll let you know what she says. Good evening.
Poor dear. She hasn't been the same since Ruth's body was found on the beach.
Mr. Dixon, according to the medical examiner, Ruth's body was in the ocean for approximately 6 weeks.
That's right.
Do you remember if Ruth was going with anyone in particular just before the time she disappeared?
The police asked me the same question. I couldn't answer it.
You mean you don't remember?
I mean that Ruth wasn't a girl to be tied down to one man and any more than she's content to live like she had to after my health failed.
Did she date very often?
Well, you know she worked as a hostess at the yacht club.
Yes, sir.
She met a lot of rich young men there. And if you ask me, she dated too much. Of course, her mother took Ruth's side, said she had to if she was ever going to get herself a husband.
But she went with no one in particular.
No. She never settled down enough.
What about her friends, Mr. Dixon? Was there someone she might have confided in?
She didn't have any girlfriends. Liked men a lot better.
Oh, there was somebody.
Well, I expect you could say he was her friend. Too old to have been a boyfriend. Besides, he doesn't have enough money.
Who is he?
His name's Sam Hood. He runs a small craft repair shop down by Viking Beach.
Viking Beach is on the Atlantic side of Newport, approximately a mile from Land's End, where the Dixon girl's body had been washed ashore. Once there, I didn't have any trouble locating Sam Hood's repair shop. It was on the end of a large wharf. For a moment, I thought the wharf was deserted. Then I heard it. Below the wharf, sitting low on the water, was an old converted PT boat. And standing on deck, tinkering with the controls, was a heavy-set man wearing thick glasses and greasy dungarees. I was about to call him when he looked up.
Afternoon.
Hi.
Can I help you?
Yeah, I hope so. I'm looking for Sam Hood.
He ain't here. Gone on his vacation.
Oh, fine.
Can I do anything for you? I'm his brother, Leroy.
Well, yeah, Leroy, maybe you can.
You want me to come up or you going to come down?
I'll come down, but how do I do it?
Stairs over to your left there.
Oh, sure.
You're a stranger around here, ain't you?
Yep, that's right.
Well, I'm always glad to meet up with a stranger. This is such a little bitty place, most everybody along the waterfront's heard everybody else's stories a many times till they're sick of it. What'd you say your name was?
It's Dollar. Johnny Dollar.
Well, welcome aboard the Connemore, Mr. Dollar.
Connemore? That's an odd name for a boat.
Sure is, ain't it? But I found it in a book. Sure fits her. And me, too. What you lying, Mr. Dollar?
I'm an insurance investigator.
Well, now, that must be mighty interesting work.
Yeah, sometimes.
You chew tobacco?
No, thanks.
Oh. Well, I got a brand new plug of brown mule here. Ain't had it out of the wrapper. So if you want some...
No, thanks, Roy.
You sure missing something? Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Man, my teeth. You want to take a look around? Go ahead. Of course, the Connemore ain't no fancy yacht.
Excuse me, what did you say?
I said the Connemore ain't no fancy yacht, but she's all mine and Sam's, and I'm proud of her.
Oh. So where did you say your brother was, Leroy?
Sam? Oh, he's visiting our folks down in Augusta. I would have gone, too, but somebody had to stay in mind the store.
Yeah. You know when he'll be back?
Not for sure. But anything Sam knows about, so do I. We got real runny mouths in our family.
Tell me, Leroy, did you know a girl named Ruth Dixon?
No one just to tip my hat to. But Sam did. Yes, sir. That gal and Sam, they used to sit up there on the wharf looking out toward Gooseberry Island, and they talk.
You know what about?
Nope. Get off that railing, you whitewash brother! See ya!
Leroy, you told me a moment ago Sam couldn't keep a secret.
Well, he said she was full of dreams. Man, you ask me, she wasn't nothing but another two-timing, just like all of them.
Well, that's not a very good opinion of her, Leroy.
I can't help it. Sam was crazy for her, but she didn't even let on like she knew it.
How did your brother take the news of her death?
Oh, just awful.
That why he left town?
Yep.
Does Sam own a .38 revolver, Leroy?
Oh, sure. Most everybody who has a boat owns something like that. But, hey, wait a minute. You getting ideas?
No, just asking questions.
Oh. Well, Sam couldn't have killed her. I know it.
What makes you so sure?
Well, because he's my brother. And how he was so broke up when he heard about Ruth. Why would you suppose anybody would want to put a bullet in a pretty gal like that?
I don't know, Leroy. I don't know. I asked him a few more questions, watched him chase the seagulls off the railing once more, then left. At 7:45, I was sitting in the Yacht Club bar waiting for Darla Mason. At 8:30, I was still waiting. And at 9:30, I gave up and went back to my hotel. I hadn't been in my room 10 minutes before someone started pounding on the door.
Darla! Darla, you in there?
Yeah, who is it?
Captain Lewis, open up.
Well, good evening, Captain.
Nothing good about it.
Huh?
Fine thing you pulled. You come over here to help, then you go gallivanting off where nobody can find you.
I called your office as soon as I hit town.
Because the people you're working for in Hartford told you to. Now, look, that insurance agent said you were skeptical about there being a connection between the Mason and the Dixon.
I still am.
You won't be when I tell you what happened early this evening.
Okay, so what happened?
Darla Mason was shot, and the bullet came from the same gun that killed Ruth Dixon.
Act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
It is a very well-known fact that symbols are important to men everywhere. Whether they be symbols of country, religion, or honor, they're a cherished part of the culture and tradition of all peoples. As in almost all countries of the world, the people of Spain are very religious. And in the Spanish town of Vendrell, the people were having difficulty with a symbol. A 300-pound angel sitting on top of a 150-foot church steeple. The angel had been there since 1784 and needed repairs to keep it from falling down on the heads of the parishioners. But 150 feet is a long way up, and 300 pounds are a lot of weight to bring down. Well, there was a great deal of head-scratching over the problem until someone casually mentioned the problem to someone else who happened to be stationed at the United States Air Force base in Zaragoza, Spain. It wasn't long before visions of a helicopter came to mind. Because Americans like to help other people everywhere, the Air Force Whirlybird lifted the angel from the church steeple, brought it down for repairs, and later returned it to its perch. So grateful were the people of Vendrell for this act of friendly cooperation that they held a mass celebration of American Day to show their appreciation. Television and newsreels carried the story of kindness, so did the newspapers and magazines throughout Spain. This gesture on the part of the United States Air Force created a new symbol, a symbol of friendship and understanding. It became a symbol of freedom, the right of all men everywhere.
Now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Dixon Murder Matter. Expense account item 6, 20 cents for 2 cups of coffee at the Eat Right Cafe near my hotel, where Captain Lewis proceeded to give me the details surrounding the shooting of Darla Mason. She had been on her way down to the Mason Boathouse, where she'd planned to take the cruiser across the bay to the yacht club. As she neared the boathouse, someone had fired at her, and the bullets that wounded her came from the same gun that killed Ruth Dixon.
So there was a connection between the Mason and Dixon girls. And if you want more proof, I have it.
Like what?
Well, they both spent a good deal of their time at the yacht club.
Yeah, but for slightly different reasons. Ruth worked there before she was killed.
But she must have known Darla Mason.
No, that's no good, Captain. You go to the district attorney with that kind of evidence and he'll throw you out of his office. He'll want proof they knew each other and how well.
Yeah, I suppose.
What about Darla? When can we see her?
Well, the doctors tell us we can. She still hasn't regained consciousness.
Hey, Captain, do you know where the Masons have the work done on their cruiser?
Yeah, and that's another thing. That's Sam Hood's place.
Have you questioned him?
Never had a chance to. According to his brother, he's away on some sort of vacation down in Georgia. Left the day the Dixon girl's body was identified.
Are you sure he's still in Georgia?
Well, I can ask the Augusta police to check up on him.
If he is, have them tell him about Darla being shot up and find out if he knew her.
Okay. Well, you ready?
Yeah. No one was seen prowling around the Mason place tonight, huh?
Nobody else was down at the boathouse. Thanks, Johnny.
Sure, Captain.
Then stop being so formal. My name's Pete.
Okay, Pete.
Well, I guess we've done all we can for a while.
I'm not so sure.
No, what do you mean?
I'm not sure about that either. But I have an idea. Or maybe I ought to call it a hunch.
About what?
Well, I'd like to sleep on it first, if it's all the same to you.
Have I anything to say in the matter?
Nope, not a bit. It was late and I was tired, so I did the obvious thing and went to bed. Early the next morning, I called the hospital. Darla Mason had regained consciousness and would recover. But she couldn't be questioned for another 2 or 3 days. So I finished dressing and went down for breakfast. I was crossing the lobby when someone called me.
Mr. Darla. Mr. Darla.
Oh, Mrs. Dixon.
I've been waiting to see you.
Well, you should have called. I'd have come right down.
Oh, no, I was afraid I'd wake you up, and I didn't want to do that.
Well, that's very thoughtful of you.
Mr. Darla, is there some place we can go and talk?
Well, it's my room.
Oh, no, I mean, well, it wouldn't look right, you know.
Oh, well, then, how about over here? Looks like a nice, quiet corner.
Yes, this will do nicely. Mr. Darla, remember I told you about Madame de Salle?
Yes, I remember. Would you like to sit down?
Oh, no, I'm too excited to sit.
Excited? About what?
Well, I've been trying to tell you about Madame de Salle and what happened last night.
What did happen?
The conditions were right.
I beg your pardon?
The conditions. They were right. Remember, I told you Madame was going to let me speak to Ruth when the conditions were right. Well, they were last night.
Oh.
Well, aren't you interested in what Ruth had to say?
Oh, yes, I am, Mrs. Dixon.
She told me who killed her, Mr. Darla.
What?
Yes, sir. Just as plain, I heard it from Ruth, and there's no doubt about it. It was her voice, all right.
Mrs. Dixon, exactly what did Ruth say about the person who murdered her?
Oh, Ruth described her to a T.
Her?
She said it was a woman. Young, dark hair, brown eyes, and a big red scar on the back of her left hand.
I see.
You seem disappointed, Mr. Darla.
I guess I was doing a little wishful thinking, Mrs. Dixon.
Well, wishful thinking or not, Ruth told me who it was that killed her.
Oh, her name, too?
Well, she didn't know her name. But that big red scar. Now, you find a woman who has a thing like that on the back of her left hand, and you'll have the guilty party.
Yes, well, I'll look for someone like that today, Mrs. Dixon. Now, come on, I'll buy you some breakfast. An hour later, back in my room, I put in a call to Captain Lewis.
Morning, Johnny.
Morning, Pete. Anything new?
Well, we heard from the Augusta police.
Yeah?
Sam Hood's in Augusta, all right. Been there for over a week.
Uh-huh. Did they ask him if he knew the Mason girl?
Yeah, said he did. Said the Masons used to let him and his brother service their cruiser.
Uh-huh.
Johnny, when are you going to stop playing games and tell me your idea?
Hunch, you mean, Pete. And I'll tell you just as soon as I get back from the library.
The library?
Oh, and while you're waiting, call back the Augusta police. Have them get hold of Sam Hood again.
What for?
Ask him who named his boat.
What?
Yeah, ask him if it was his idea to name it the Connemore or his brother's.
Johnny, are you feeling all right?
Never felt better, and I'll see you in about an hour. I found what I was looking for in the library, then went back to Captain Lewis's office and told him what I was now beginning to believe. While I was there, Sam Hood called from Augusta with the answer to the question the police had asked him. Then I went alone down to the wharf on Viking Beach. Leroy Hood was sprawled lazily over the deck of the Connemore, trying to sleep and at the same time keep an eye on a fishing line he tossed over the side. I started down the steps toward the boat.
Well, doggone. Hi there, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, morning, Leroy.
Man, I sure didn't think you'd be back down here so soon. You know, Sam ain't back yet.
Yeah, I know. You having any luck?
No. Just making believe. For real fishing, you got to go out beyond Gooseberry Island.
Oh, how about taking me someday?
Why, sure. Man, you just say the word and we'll go right now.
Well, no. I'm afraid I couldn't do that this morning, Leroy.
Well, you just let me know anytime.
Yeah. How fast this boat cruise?
25 knots. Now, ain't that something? Fastest boat between here and the Navy station.
How long would it take you to get over to the Mason home and back again?
Why, wouldn't take no time at all. How come you ask that?
Did you know Darla Mason was shot last night?
Heard something about it, yeah.
Do you know Darla Mason, Leroy?
How could I know somebody like that?
I don't know. But if you didn't know her, why did you try to kill her last night?
You joking?
No, not a bit.
Oh, come on now, man. What you mean I tried to kill her last night?
Just what I said.
That ain't funny. That ain't one bit funny.
But it's the truth, isn't it?
The truth? Now, who told you that?
Darla.
What? What, she couldn't have.
No, why not?
Because the papers say she's still unconscious. Besides, she couldn't see nobody around that boathouse last night. It was too dark.
Dark as it was the night she killed Ruth Dixon.
You know, you're beginning to get me riled, Darla.
That's so.
It sure is so. Coming around here with all kinds of lies saying I killed Ruth Dixon.
I didn't say it. Your brother did.
Sam? Oh, man, now you really lying. Sam's in Augusta. You ain't seen
him. We talked to him on the phone this morning. He told us about you and Ruth Dixon and the Mason girl and every other woman who comes around here.
Well, just because I try to make a little time with them, that don't mean I killed nobody.
Sam told us different, Leroy. He told us that you can't stand to have a woman laugh at you. Every time a girl has, you've tried your best to make her sorry for it.
You really did talk to Sam?
What do you think?
But why would he tell on me? Why? He never has before.
He didn't want to, Leroy. That's why he left here when he did. He needed time to think. Decide what to do about his brother. About you.
What you gonna do about it?
What I have to do. Take you in.
No. Nobody's taking me anywhere. I don't want to go. And anybody cries, they're gonna be sorry.
Leroy. Leroy, come out of there.
I'm coming. You look out, dog. You look out. You don't try stopping me.
Leroy, come back.
No! Johnny? You all right?
Oh, yeah. I'm just fine.
Come on up. All over.
Yeah, Captain. I know.
Tell me something.
If I can.
What put you onto him in the first place?
Two things. You see, he liked the girls, wanted to be a lady killer. But they'd only laugh at him, and he couldn't stand that.
I see.
But the big thing is, what he named this boat, Cunnamore.
I don't get it.
Well, a man like Leroy, not much education, he'd have to have a real reason for wanting to name it that.
But why? What's so special about that?
You ever hear of Bluebeard?
A lady killer? Sure, who hasn't?
Well, Cunnamore was his real name. I saw Mrs. Dixon late that same afternoon. I'm afraid she was a bit disillusioned, having been so sure that the person who had killed her daughter was a woman. But there was one funny thing. On the back of Leroy's left hand was a long red scar. Expense account total, including car rental, hotel bill, and transportation back to Hartford, $968.20. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, a case that couldn't be solved. Because there was no solution. And yet, well, join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood. Written by Charles B. Smith, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Gene Tatum, Jeanette Nolan, Frank Nelson, Russell Thorson, Sam Edwards, and Austin Green. Musical supervision is by Amerigo Marino. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Dan Cubberly speaking.